Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week.
I was at work and I was going out and putting bets on and I was at home. And, you know, they call it the invisible addiction. This is because you wouldn't have probably seen or known that I was going through this addiction. I wouldn't tell anybody. I couldn't because of what would happen.
Any international tournament should be a really enjoyable time. But we know that with it, there's going to be so many football matches, lots and lots of gambling promotion. That, coupled with the fact that we're all facing a cost of living crisis, is what's causing us concern.
I'd wake up every morning and the first thing in my head would be, how am I going to get back that 500 or 1,000 pounds I lost yesterday? So you kind of, all the sense went out the window.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to the programme. My name is Mick Coyle. It's an absolute pleasure to have you streaming and downloading Mental Health Monday this week. And we're going to take a look at the Football World Cup this week, which is getting underway in Qatar. This has been controversial for very many different reasons, not least confusion and contradictions about stats based around the number of workers who've died creating the stadium and the infrastructure. I'm not going to get into that here. You look at the human rights record of the host nation. You look at maybe some of their laws and attitudes to people from the LGBT community. You look at the size of Qatar and the fact that it's, you know, being asked to host a major international tournament, which is normally, you know, hosted by countries of tens of millions of people. But that's how things are stacked up. People, I think, don't like the idea of it being Qatar because of the human rights questions. But of course, Russia hosted the last World Cup. So I don't know where we sit on that one from a moral point of view. But like I say, that's not what we're going to be taking a look at this week. Instead, we're going to be focusing on key messaging from Gamble Aware. I was really surprised, actually. They've done a survey going into the World Cup, and actually, we've seen the results here at Mental Health Monday. And so, a few things in there which have really surprised me. Take a look at this, for instance. 43% of football fans are planning to bet during this year's tournament. 43%. Now, to me, that seems really high. If you picture football fans in a stadium, 43% of them, just under half, are going to be betting on the football match. People at their homes, people in the pub, people going down to a bookmakers, of course, to place their bets at the moment. There's a million and one different places you can do it. But 43% of football fans plan to bet during this year's tournament. But at the same time, check this out, 28%, just under one in three, just over one in four, admit to feeling anxious about how much money they might lose. So although 43% are planning to do it, of those 43%, more than a quarter are already worried about how much they might lose. 56% say that it's easy to lose more money than expected. Now, this throws up some really interesting conversations because actually, of course, the World Cup is happening during a cost of living crisis. So whether you can afford to lose the money or not, people have got less money as a result of the cost of living crisis. And it's a winter World Cup, so it's happening around Christmas. So all the financial pressures that come with Christmas at the same time. But there's a kicker in that. That 39% say financial pressures may actually drive them to gamble more during the World Cup. That there's an idea that heading into this World Cup, some people are seeing it as an opportunity to make money, to earn back some of the cost that they're spending on Christmas trees and toys, to earn back some of the money they're having to spend on their gas and electric bills, or the amount of money they're having to put in their car. Gives you a sense, doesn't it, there, of the almost desperation that some people are in from a financial point of view, and the terribly risky position they may put themselves in, because of course, when it does come to gambling, ultimately the house will always win, and people ultimately will lose out. But this is heading into a World Cup year during a cost of living crisis. So it feels like there's almost this perfect storm, if you like, of issues heading into it. So the conversation this week is with David Quinty. Now, David is a really interesting guy. He's a great guest as well. He's from Stockport in Greater Manchester, and he is a former problem gambler. Now, he is somebody who now works with Gamble Aware, a great organisation doing great work to raise awareness of some of the issues around the things that I've just been talking about. But he also works with local groups as well to share his story, to talk about the things that he's gone through. You know, David's story, you know, over a 10-year period, he lost more than £30,000, and he'll tell us in the conversation about the sort of bets that he was placing and the sort of moments that he realised that he was out of control, but about how it affects your whole life. This isn't about prohibition. This is more about awareness that actually this can happen to people because it happened to David. And it's not to say that, you know, I'm going to shut down the gambling industry through having this conversation. I understand that it is a huge industry, and I understand that actually people partake in it on a regular basis in the same way that partake, you know, in the other vices of smoking and drinking. And you may say, oh, it's fine. I'm fine with it. What I want to say is, this is what can happen, and maybe this is what an addiction looks like as well. It's worth maybe seeing if maybe this is something you've experienced, or if you might recognize some of the signs in other people as well, in terms of maybe fluttering a little bit too much when it comes to gambling. We'll also be hearing from the CEO of Gamble Aware as well. Zoe Osmond will join us on the program. Really great guest. And there's some good information on their website, begambleaware.org. You can get a link to that in the notes to the podcast. That's begambleaware.org. They've got this great campaign which is running throughout the whole of the World Cup. Like I say, for many people, it won't be an issue, but for many, it will. Now, I think it's probably important that we have this conversation so people get a sense of what this can look like. And we can hear David's story. And I started off by talking about some of the results from this survey and, you know, put it to David that, you know, it's not a good place to start going into a football tournament thinking that this might be the opportunity that you needed to make back some of that cash spent during the cost of living crisis.
And that is the problem. You kind of hit a key thing there, because the trouble is people do think they'll win big and they're chasing losses and ultimately they will lose. But when you're in that kind of mindset, you know, trying to win big, and if you do make a loss, you bet more to get more back because the little bets don't interest you anymore. You're not going to, you know, get your money back. So I'm not surprised with those figures, to be honest. And like I was saying, you know, the amount of betting you can do now, you know, across all the different sites and the types of bets you can do is crazy, really, you know. And I can. That's why I'm not surprised with, like I said, those numbers and the amount that people may get into that, especially with, like you said, Christmas, cost of living, and people are getting more desperate, so they will probably be more, you know, adventurous and probably gamble more.
Can you understand that mentality as a former gambler yourself, as somebody who thinks we'll go on then, let's see what I can make happen here?
I can, because again, I started off probably like anybody else, doing it for a bit of fun, putting on a few bets, you know, and obviously when you get a win, there's a buzz there. Makes watching things a bit more exciting, as they say on the adverts as well. And then with the landscape of gambling changed, and I started to bet more money on football initially again and different events, and then it became more online all the time because you'd bet anytime you wanted to. You know, you could bet in the morning, you could bet on, I was betting on games from leagues I'd never heard of just because the games were on at that point, just because I wanted to win some money back. Because when I started to lose, and I started to bet more, it went from being fun to being something that I had to change because I was losing money. I couldn't afford to lose money, so I had to get it back. And the difficulty was, how am I going to get that back? I'd wake up every morning and the first thing in my head would be, how am I going to, you know, get back that 500 or 1,000 pounds I lost yesterday? You know, and you wake up with the same anxiety, the same, you know, doubt about what you're going to do, but still in that mindset, I just need one big win. So you kind of, all the sense went out the window. You know, the whole, it kind of just become the norm and became, and you're not seeing the money online, have you? You got to remember that. You're just putting money on. You're putting these numbers on and you can't see it. If someone gave me £500 in my hand, I might feel differently, but you're putting these numbers on and nobody was stopping you doing it. So it's very easy to go on there and do that. And the next thing you know, you're in that day two, day three, you're £1,000 down again. You know, and things just snowball.
If somebody loses £500, they want to win £500. There's like, you know, if you imagine a graph, win, lose, even it up, you can, that is kind of like understandable. At what point then does it become like an addiction that you're thinking, oh, actually, this has gone beyond just the, you know, one or two losses? It's become almost habitual, if you like.
Changes very quickly. And that's the scary thing about this. You know, you can literally start off having a couple of quid here and there and then getting that buzz. And next thing you know, you're betting 10, 20. Again, still feels low. I think the addiction part comes when you win. So when you win, you get that massive buzz and then it gives you the confidence to do another bet. And then, you know, you might go on a bit of a run where you're doing all right, you know, you're £2,000-£3,000 up. And at that point, you know, if you're someone who's in control, well, that's out of control if you're spending that much, but you'd probably stop and think, right, I've won all this money, I'm going to keep it. But there's that, the addiction takes over and you don't stop. You want to bet more to win more. And then ultimately, the same thing happens again, you lose. You go in and it becomes literally, so I was doing this all day. I was at work and I was going out and putting bets on and I was at home. And, you know, they call it the invisible addiction. This is because you wouldn't have probably seen or known that I was going through this addiction. I wouldn't tell anybody. I couldn't because of what would happen. So I'm doing this every day, trying to have a normal life. But ultimately, my life wasn't normal. I was, even though I was in people, I was like in a bubble because I was just consumed with having to win. And that's, for me, when I knew, yeah, I'm really in it here and this is a big problem.
There was a line in the survey, which I guess you almost smiled in a bittersweet way. 56% of those surveyed said it's easy to lose more money than expected. I bet you that one rings true, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anyone ever sets out to lose £1,000 or £2,000. But when you're in the thick of it and when you realise, you know, you've got to get that money back, you can't do anything but bet again and bet more. And then you start taking out credit cards, you start taking out loans. In my position where I didn't do that as much, but, you know, taking money from accounts to sort of cover it, taking payday loans. You do all this and you will spend more money. And then you'll bet money that you haven't got anymore because, you know, it was never money I really had. And ultimately, once I was in that addiction, couldn't stop when I was losing money, I had to carry on to try and get it back. But ultimately, I knew I was going to lose. You know, whatever I do, I was going to lose. And it just felt like there was no way out. So yeah, I do understand that.
Could you give us a sense, David, of what losing looks like? I don't know if you ever kept like a tally or a chart, maybe on those sort of betting apps. It maybe tells you about what sort of the overall losses were. But what sort of thing will we be talking about? What sort of figures will we be talking about?
So like I said, I think overall, I mean, when I say it was probably over 30,000 in 10 years, I would say that the majority of that was towards the end of my addiction when it spiraled out of control. So, you know, it went from, like I said, 10, 20 pounds to, let's say you go through a day and you've just spent £2,000 gone. And that could be literally on 7-8 bets. I was doing roulette as well when it got to a real, I think it was at my lowest, I went to roulette because all the kind of knowledge and the experience, you know, like when you're football betting, went out the window. This was just purely luck because I was that desperate. I had to just win big and win quick. And I was literally betting 50s, 100s, you know, and then you're losing that again. And then it's just the most, I didn't keep tallies, but I knew how much I'd lost. You know what I mean? I'd know by looking at my accounts or my credit cards. And then I was again thinking, how did I get this? Do I get another loan and pay it back? But, you know, I'm going to spend it again because you don't get rid of those cards. So it was just an endless spiral. And like I said, if I'd gone through a night and probably bet £2,000, that would, towards the end of it, been a normal night for me. And most nights lost. There was times when I won, but I didn't, you know, it was only touching the sides, really, of what I'd sort of already gone into. So,
Have you ever sort of spoken with people who were maybe either friends at the time or people who would sort of like, who would place bets with you at the time about sort of maybe why you experienced that level of addiction, if you like, and maybe why some people might listen to this conversation, David, and go, oh, well, you know, I've always had a flutter on the horses, or it might have been on you know the online stuff, or it might be the footy, and they've never felt like they've fallen into a trap, if you like. Do you think it's a personality thing? What's the difference, do you think?
It's a really good question. I mean, you know, I think when I was going through my counselling, you know, we kind of uncovered a lot of things going back to. I'm not saying, you know, because this person did that, that's because I was like, I think you've got a choice. But a lot of people think gambling is a choice. They think, well, it's not like alcohol addiction or drugs, you know, because you can't see it. It's the same thing. You're in an addiction, so you can't just stop, you know, or someone can say, why are you spending that much money? I think there must be a self-destruct personality in there or something this personality that's, you know, just doesn't seem to get it. So that's what, I suppose, got me into it more. And I took lots of risks, you know, but I don't think, you know, I think I don't want to ban gambling, but I think, you know, if people can have a bet and be safe, then that's great. And some people will always have limits and they'll bet so much a day and it'll always be. So if that's the way it can stay, great. How people can turn into that is a good question because it can be anything. And you look at me, you know, I'm in my late 40s, and you probably have like the typical guy that go in the bookies or do the gambling, but it can affect anybody from any background, you know. And I suppose the more I spoke to people, the more I've, you know, spoke with people with experience, I've seen that, you know, and some of the stories I hear from them make my story look quite minimal compared to what they've had to go through, but it makes you feel not alone. But do you know what? I have friends, you know, even when I was going through my height of gambling, I couldn't tell them, but they were probably having bets and putting the phones out and I couldn't tell them, you know, but they didn't have a problem. I did. So, you know, why is that? Is a really good question. And there's a lot of factors, I think, that go into that. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And that's why we need to do more around that, you know.
Absolutely. And what's it like for you now working alongside an organisation like Gamble Aware to sort of spread that message and show what the consequences of this can be?
It's amazing, really, because I think, if anything, I want to show people that there is, you can get through it, gambling addiction. You know, as soon as I went through my therapy, and the first thing I wanted to do was link up with others and try and help people because of what it had done to me and what it had taken from me. You know, my mental health suffered. I was drinking more. I was doing all things that I wouldn't normally do. Affected my family. So working with people now who've been through that, because ultimately you feel like you're not alone. You feel like you are alone. So you feel like, you know, it's just me doing this. But when you hear other stories, you realize it's not just you. And that makes you feel quite normal. And me speaking about it feels like therapy. So, you know, working with Gamble Aware has been amazing, and being part of Glenn and also touching in with, you know, GamCare, and just doing these conversations or chatting to people about it is just amazing for me, because I can help others, you know, and that's ultimately all I want to do now, and show people that come forward, do it early. Early intervention is the key, you know, and don't get into that position that I did, you know, and we can definitely stop people doing that.
Let's bring Zoe Osmond into the conversation now, CEO of Gamble Aware. Zoe, David's a brilliant spokesperson, you know, for his own experience, and speaks so eloquently about what he's gone through from a gambling point of view. Do you often think, as CEO of Gamble Aware, that there are these sort of major events that are coming up, and it'll be maybe big horse racing events and Olympics maybe, but the World Cup must be right up there in terms of a time where you're thinking, okay, this might be a time where we're going to have to be really, really on it in terms of the messaging, but also wary that people might start coming to us and maybe asking a couple of questions, maybe coming forward even for the first time to kind of say, maybe there's an issue going on here.
Absolutely. So, I mean, gambling harms can happen to anyone. And the World Cup or any international tournament should be a really enjoyable time. But we know that with it, there's going to be so many football matches. And we know from our research, lots and lots of gambling promotion. So that, coupled with the fact that we're all facing a cost of living crisis, is what's causing us concern. And this campaign is essentially a prevention campaign, but it's really to make people aware of the risks so that they can enjoy the World Cup and not get carried away.
Sure. Well, David and I touched on that idea that, you know, there are some fans who are looking at that wider financial pressure and almost, you know, maybe even see that the World Cup might be an opportunity to win some of that money spent on energy bills or money spent on Christmas, win it back. And that strikes me as a really dangerous thing.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it's the first winter World Cup I think we've had. So, you know, the timing of it is not great, although of course it brings hopefully a lot of joy to people, and we want to make sure that they enjoy it and enjoy the tournament safely and well. I mean, we know that nearly a quarter of football fans are really anxious that they're going to make bets more than they can afford, and that's for us a big red flag. You know, if people should be able to bet, but absolutely do it with the knowledge of the risks and really watch out for those warning signs. And I think the reality is we know that there's a lot of stigma associated with gambling harm. And really, we really want to open up the conversation, break down those barriers, and make sure that people are aware not just of their own behaviours, but also that of loved ones, and that the conversation is had so people know what to look for and where to go for help.
And I think that's a really great example of why you've got someone like David on board, because people think, you know, is it something happening in a seedy bookmakers on the wrong side of the tracks, or is it normal, dare I say, David, normal looking people who look like you and me, you know, the people that we work with? There's a normalization process here that a conversation we can have there.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that there is sort of such an intensity of betting promotion at this time, I mean, to be fair to the broadcasters, they've supported this campaign. They've given some inventory towards it, which I think is important. Steps have been made by the industry in terms of the whistle-to-whistle ban and some donated, so the fact that 20% of their advertising should be behind safer gambling messages. But this is David and Goliath. I mean, we need to get our message out there, and we need to make sure that every single person, every football fan is aware of those risks. Which I think is key, because at the end of the day, we all want to enjoy the tournament as much as we can and not be driven to a state whereby we're betting more than we can afford. That is definitely to be concerned about.
And that's a balance for you as well, isn't it, Zoe, in terms of that message? Because of course, if you come out and say, right, no one needs to gamble, nobody should gamble, and it's a complete waste of money, look how rich these companies are, see how much money that people are losing on gambling, people might understand the logic of that, but actually culturally it's such a huge part, isn't it? And I think that must be a challenge for you of saying, well, okay, I understand that people, in the same way that people maybe have a drink or that people smoke or whatever it is, I understand if you want to do this, but be aware. And you've got to make sure that that message is right, haven't you?
Absolutely right. We're not prohibitionist. I mean, it's just about being informed and making an informed choice and decision. And as you say, sort of, you know, gambling, betting is sort of ingrained in British culture and also in that of football, and gambling is sort of very much entwined. People may not see it as gambling. They might want to use the term betting, but it is essentially gambling. So, you know, this is why it's so key that people are aware of the risks and are making an informed decision how to do it. And if they are concerned, set themselves some limits, time limits, money limits, or delete the apps, you know, whatever state that they require. But everybody has choices here.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll make sure there's links available online, by the way, to your website, because it's really great resources on there as well. And also some great links to organizations and various different things you can do, banning yourself from certain organizations and so on and so forth, which might be beneficial to some people. Overall, Zoe, you know, cost of living crisis, money is tight for a lot of people. I guess your message is, you know, if you're going to be earning money, you earn it through the way you regularly earn money. The idea of winning your losses, winning back the cost of that energy bill, winning back the cost of the turkey and the Christmas tree or whatever it will be, is not a great place to be putting your money.
Absolutely right. I mean, don't go into gambling to make money. I mean, do it because you want to sort of enjoy a flutter. That's, you know, at the individual's discretion. But if you think you're using it as a means to make funds and also to supplement household incomes or pay for your Christmas bills, please don't, because that's not a good place to start from. And indeed, we talk about bet regret as that sort of sinking feeling you get when you've made a bet that you shouldn't have done. We want people to avoid bet regret, enjoy the football, and just be safe, ultimately.
David, then overall, then what would be your message to people who maybe have had a regular flutter in years gone by, and I think, you know, maybe I'll take a look at the World Cup because they, you know, they fancy Denmark's chances or whatever it might be. What would you say to them?
Again, it's what I think I've always said is that, you know, I think as individuals, they'll know themselves if something's different, something's changed, or, you know, I don't want gambling banned. You know, I think people should have fun with it, but, you know, if you're someone who does get affected by it and you know you're in that addiction or you feel like things are changing and getting more serious, then you need to do something straight away. I think talking to someone or just even reaching out, because the stigma is what holds people back. It really does. And there should be any stigma about gambling. It's just like any addiction. And as soon as you come forward and talk, but like what Zoe said, you know, there is a lot of things now that you can do. You know, you can put in, you know, restrictions on, you can delete the apps, you can put, you know, self-exclude on different things, you know. So there's a lot of things you can do if you feel like maybe you're getting into that position. And if people are going to look at the World Cup, you know, like there's going to be so much there, but just do it responsibly. But absolutely, you know, if something happens or you feel like you are spending more or spending your wages, things like that, or using things for bills that you should have done, then reach out and get some help. You know, the Gambler Aware, there's so much support now out there. For my journey 7 years ago, it was a bit more difficult. There's so much support out there now because people are more coming forward and we want it to be more of an acceptance, you know? And I think there's definitely support there to do that now. So just don't live on, you know, don't do it on your own. There's always someone you can speak to.
Brilliant stuff. And I'm hoping through having conversations like this as well, we can open up that conversation and people can think, ah, maybe that is a conversation I need to be having. Like I say, we'll put some links online as well where people can find out some more information about the great work of Gamble Aware. Zoe, David, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you joining us.
No, thank you. Thanks
for having the subject on your show.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.